John Boy.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not anything that you can get through any particular screen is worth it. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PacSync through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher, or anywhere else that you get your podcasts. Be sure to head to all of those places, whichever one you want to give us a review. Definitely head to www.freedomtrainradio.com and leave a review and check out some of the other shows. We got an amazing lineup of shows that's only getting bigger. Be sure as well to head to www.packsync.org to show some love and support for our sponsors. PacSync is a black activist and advocacy organization focused on developing the black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. And I did that whole thing without breathing because I'm amazing. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the black community. So the things that we look at will be looked at with the racial component involved and with some lessons that can be used to improve the community. During this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be looking at a documentary produced by Brian Knappenberger entitled Nobody Speak, Trials of the Free Press. In this documentary, we are taken through the trial of wrestler Hulk Hogan as he sued Gawker for sex tape footage that they released on their website. After the details of the trial are laid out, there is a sharp zooming out that really gets to the heart of what the documentary is about. Billionaires using their power, influence, and wealth to control or destroy news organizations. We will be looking into the documentary as well as giving our opinion on it and the message it seeks to spread, while also talking about some things that we can learn from this documentary as a community. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be digging into Nobody Speak, Trials of the Free Press. The documentary covered a very important subject from an obtuse angle. And by that, I don't mean that it was insensitive or dumb or dense or anything like that. It's just that it wasn't necessarily the best angle for garnering understanding about what was about to occur and what the purpose of the documentary was. And of course, that's from my opinion, my perspective. It was almost like a flashback effect used in a movie to lay the groundwork for the actual story. And that's fine as long as the flashback doesn't last for literally half the movie, and as long as the flashback doesn't have you wondering if it was really necessary at all at the end of the movie. And this is pretty much what you get with Nobody Speak. They set up the Hulk Hogan lawsuit where he sued Gawker by taking you through a rough overview of Hulk Hogan's career as the most well-known and successful wrestler of all time, although nowadays a rather strong case could be made for The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Anyways. And then they take you through the foundation of Gawker as a media institution, during which they showcased their role as essentially a media bully that essentially bullies people through their content. Not a great way to endear our poor victims, but, you know, honesty is always appreciated with me. They then take you through the trial as narrated, mostly from my memory anyways, by the Gawker team, with Hogan's lawyer sprinkled in for balance, which was also appreciated. I always mention balance. I like balance. And after you get through the trial, the view expands massively, and we are introduced for the first time, roughly 40 to 45 minutes into the film, to the very first billionaire mentioned in the film, Peter Thiel. Now, Peter Thiel is a 50-year-old triple citizenship holder. He holds a citizenship in America, Germany, where he was born, and in New Zealand, where he got citizenship in like 2007 or 11 or something like that. He is a conservative libertarian and one of the only tech moguls to publicly support Donald Trump. He was the co-founder of PayPal and an early investor in Facebook, turning his $500,000 investment into over $1 billion in 8 years. He invested $500,000 in Facebook in 2004, and then he sold most of those shares, even though he remains on the board of directors for Facebook, as well as other companies, and has started up many of his own companies for profit and for philanthropic means. Purposes. Now, Peter Thiel is introduced in a very non-flattering manner, and it's not made any better as the film progresses. And in any case, they speculate that he wanted to destroy Gawker because Gawker published a story he didn't like about him years prior. Now, whatever the reason was, Thiel is on record in not hiding the fact that he funded the Hulk Hogan lawsuit. And then it blows up to talk about other news organizations being purchased by billionaires such as the Las Vegas Review and the Washington Post. Although the film clearly doesn't take issue with the owner of the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos, who is actually the richest man in the world. I believe his net worth is about $115 billion, something like that. But he also is the founder and the chief executive officer of Amazon. And that showcases the film's slant politically as being a left-leaning, Democratic-type film. There's a lot to take away here. The influence and reach of the wealthy is something that we should never be ignorant to. And that's one of probably the biggest takeaways, and one of the takeaways that I am sure that the creator of this project would want everyone to take away from it, is to be aware of what's happening around you and what's going on with your news organizations. And understanding that the First Amendment really is under attack from all sides, on the left and the right. And that's another big takeaway, because I think we oftentimes get caught up in thinking that, well, it's, you know, if you're a conservative, you think only the liberals want to ruin free speech. And if you're a liberal, you think only the conservatives want to ruin free speech. And really, the fact of the matter is, both sides want people to stop talking about certain things in certain ways. And that's something that we need to come to terms with and deal with. The world of political correctness has, I'm not sure if it's created or been created by this extreme sensitivity that is currently thriving in America, but I can definitely say that it has definitely made the sensitivity worse. Tough issues can't be discussed for fear of offending someone. And even when those issues and discussions do happen, people don't really want to open up because of the earlier mentioned fear of offending someone. And so this makes it hard for Black people to tell even our own stories, because other Black people are now offended by their own history. And that goes back into this ultra sensitivity that is developing in American society and its impact on us as a people. But back to the other point, you know, I just want to make sure that it's understood that nobody really wants you to say things that they don't want to hear, or that they don't agree with, or things that they, you know, that they don't feel comfortable with. And everybody is hostile and unreasonable when you venture into those spaces. You ask yourself questions like, why is it not okay to talk about politics and religion? You know, those are two fundamental principles in people's lives, two very foundational type discussions that would really allow you to get to the core of who someone is and how they think. And we're not allowed to have discussions about those in public settings, or those discussions are frowned upon because people can't articulate or can't deal with somebody else not sharing their political or religious views. That is crazy. You know, you go out as well into the area of economics and not wanting to talk about paychecks and things of that nature because people feel offended or upset in during these conversations. And you get back to this sensitivity that spread throughout the world. And a lot of that, you know, manifests itself in media outlets covering stories that people don't want covered or from angles, perspectives, and utilizing narratives that people don't want to hear about, and their backlash for those things, the extreme backlash towards those things and the polarization of people in terms of, you know, ideology, political ideology, religious ideology, economic ideologies, social ideologies, whatever ideologies you want to name, and the segmentation of society, which especially in the black community, while we're facing down this beast of white supremacy, we don't have the luxury of being segmented along these ideological lines. But again, we go back to this sensitivity that seeped into our community from the larger community. So the second thing is to understand that the media is necessary. Political corruption, judicial failures, congressional activities, local political events, all of these things are necessary and need to be exposed and talked about in an objective manner. The press is the fourth branch of government, unofficial, of course, and it allows the people to be informed enough to know when it's time to move. And when the press is being eroded, our ability to understand the world around us and to prepare, plan, and take necessary action is also being eroded, because the job of the press is to keep the people informed of what's going on so that, as I said earlier, the people can take action. And to that, we need our own black press agencies, real journalistic agencies doing real journalism for black people from the black perspective, something that the Freedom Train wants to become. So if you're down for that and you want to help us out, definitely reach out to us. But here's the deal with that. Like, we have too many black media outlets that do nothing but repost, copy and print, plagiarize news stories that are already out there without providing anything new to the equation. And that is not helping us any, because it's still allowing them to provide our narrative. But if we don't pay attention, and that was all sidebar, so I'm going back now. But if we don't pay attention to what they are doing to white media outlets, we won't be prepared to defend ours. And without the information that the media provides, we can kiss all of our movements and all of our dreams of progress goodbye. We would all be ignorant to the world going on around us if it wasn't for the press. And remember that most of the people that were being lynched were believed by black people at the time to be criminals. It wasn't until information was compiled and released that the truth about the scope and the nature of the lynchings was revealed. And the same thing can be said for every issue we've sought to change in America. It always starts with informing people, usually through the press, about something that's going on, and then using the emotion stirred by that new information to galvanize the community into action. If we don't have that going on, because the press has been eroded into silence, have been decayed into a state of inefficacy where they aren't able to efficiently and effectively do their jobs, and that's black press especially, even though right now we could definitely do a better job of building black press, but as well as white press, because we have to give credit where credit is due. There are some liberal white press organizations that have done a fantastic job of making us aware of the systemic and structural racism and other issues that we face in this day and age. But if we don't have that going on, we won't be able to do what we need to do to truly liberate and free ourselves and build a better community. And a single billionaire being able to move and wipe out an entire organization is alarming, to say the least. The only protection any organization has against that sort of attack is the credibility and support that they have garnered from the people. And especially in the case of black news outlets, because we don't have enough billionaires. We don't really have any, so to speak. We definitely don't have more than five that can combat that. And they don't have the necessary billions to combat that. Jeff Bezos is worth $100 billion. We don't have the equivalency of that. So even if you don't care for any other news but entertainment, you should still understand the severity of that situation, and it should still be something that makes you stop and think. No, but rather than give people a whole list of reasons as to why they should be wary and be afraid, I think we need to start learning more from these incidents regarding the way things work and how we can use aggregated wealth to make things happen. Week after week, we get hit with story after story about how some wealthy and or influential person has used their wealth and or influence to make something happen. And while Black people might not have the individual wealth in sufficient quantities to do things, we do have enough aggregated influence through our culture to make things happen. We also have enough wealth to make dramatic changes in our own communities. And see, every one of these billionaires listed are using their wealth to further the economic, political, and social causes of their community. Even Peter Thiel, who is a conservative and viewed in a hostile light by the left-leaning tech world, he is still funding incubators and other things that help create wealth for his community. Meanwhile, when Black people get wealthy, far too often they create sports camps to create athletes, or music centers to create musicians, or entertainment schools of various kinds, some kind of way to teach Black kids to entertain white people. And even the leadership academies don't teach children how to build wealth and influence and other things that are needed and how to use those things to improve their communities. And I've been to far too many leadership academies. I know what I'm talking about. Most of them don't even teach real leadership. They teach management, which is a completely different thing than leadership. Off on my tangent, real briefly, part of the reasons why most companies are not doing well is because they are a company that is managed by managers instead of companies that are being led by leaders. Moving back to the topic. Now, to do that, to teach kids and to have a community that wants to better itself, to that, I do want to add, and I know I'm all over the place, but I do want to add that while it's true that we can learn from these things, we also need to make sure that we are applying what we need and throwing out the rest. Because a huge problem in Black America is our desire to duplicate everything white, even when it's not beneficial. And in some cases, in most cases, it's not even beneficial to them. They just have a culture and structure and institutions in place to accommodate those weaknesses. We don't. So we duplicate things that are of no use to us outside of the fact that they're doing it, so we want to do it too. Very little thought seems to go into how we can utilize the resources to build and create institutions and communities that are conducive to us. And I'm talking about something that I talk about often, which is us developing our community instead of us trying to transform our community into a brown version of their community. Institutions, we need institutions that instill real pride of the kind that drives a child to feel a necessary compulsion to help their community, a necessary compulsion, something that they feel they need to do with their life regardless of whatever life path they take. So they could be a business, they could be a scientist, they could be a doctor, they could be an entertainer, they could be an athlete, you know, they could be a bum on the street. Whatever it is that they choose to do in their life, they still need to feel some sort of necessary compulsion to help improve their community and to leave it better off than it was when they were birthed into it. Overall, I give this film 3 out of 5 stars. It's a good film once it gets to the topic at hand, but it takes entirely too long to get there. It tries to be as balanced as possible in terms of presenting all the sides of the Hogan trial, but after that, its left-leaning nature becomes obvious. And it's a little all over the place with it. You know, it mentions the head of Gawker being gay and showcasing or giving him the space and including his monologue about the acceptability of PDAs amongst gay people, which served no real purpose towards the overall goal of the film, in my opinion. And it spends too long on the Holt Garker trial, I can't say that enough, and not enough time talking about how these billionaires pose a threat to the press and how the press is being eroded by the current times we live in. The last 45 minutes or so were pretty good, and the link between the rising animosity towards the media and the rise of Donald Trump as a political figure is one that I think they did a good job on, especially given how much that has been talked about in other channels and in other discussions. They mentioned it, but they didn't drag you back through it. On the whole, it was a pretty good documentary, worth watching if you have the time, but if you don't, you probably already understand the central theme of the documentary. And all it really offered was examples to prove a theory, no real data or no new presentations, so to speak. So with that, I will leave a link to the Netflix page of the film, as always, and it'll be available in the post. And I will see you next week for another episode of
Lessons from the Screen. What we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.